I think I'm all wired up. Yep, that works. And I'm stayed on here.
Fine.
I use this. This is much more comfortable, much more something that I'm used to. Seeing as that I spent 33 years in a classroom, although it might be nice that teachers had the big podium like that. Maybe that might convey something to the students. But I know it is a real blessing to be able to be here. I'd like to start out with a word of prayer, because I'm going to do something different today. So if you would you please join me in prayer? Father, at this time, as we begin to open up your word, we pray that you would calm our hearts, our minds, so that we would receive everything that you would have for us. Order my speech aright, Lord, so that it may glorify only you. Teach us, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wanted to do something different because, as Pastor Rich said, third time, I'm beginning to feel like it's home. As a matter of fact, any place to ask me back a second time is my home. But since I'm beginning to feel a little more comfortable, I thought that I'd get a little bit more comfortable in sharing some things with you. And I think what I want to do is maybe even give like a little Bible study. Because what has happened is, last weekend I was down in Atlanta. We were down there with a number of other recipients, and we were visiting businesses and schools and speaking to people. And I was participating in a panel discussion before a bunch of businessmen. And one of the businessmen asked the panel to put into words, if they could, what were the characteristics, what was the qualities that were in your life that enabled you to do what you did, to be awarded the Medal of Honor? What was it that motivated you? Was it a decision, or was it something that just automatically happened? Were there characteristics that had an influence in your life? Because if there were, we would sure like to know those so that we can teach them to people, so that everybody would have those same qualities and be able to do the things that you did. Well, we were kind of silent for a minute or two, and then one of the other recipients gave what I would call maybe not a standard answer, but the most obvious answer. Because maybe we were all just taken aback by that question. But he said, well, of course, they are the values that all servicemen have. Loyalty, duty, respect for one another, selfless service, honor, integrity, personal courage. These are the values that make the military strong. These are the values that live in the hearts and minds of every person who serves the military. These are the values that are instilled by the military so that the soldiers and the airmen, Marines, Coast Guardmen, seamen, they may do the duties that they need to do. Those are important values. Well, as I listened, I began to think a little bit. And I said, yeah, those are good. Now, don't get me wrong, they are good, and they are values. And as a Green Beret, those values were instilled in me as well. And they were very helpful to me. And then I thought, since we were talking to businessmen, that, yeah, these are values that would do well for every person to have in their life. Whether you're in a community, school, wherever, those are values that will help you deal with what life is going to throw in your way. And life will challenge you. But then I got to be thinking more, that those values have a limitation. There's a limitation to those values. You see, because life is going to throw some tremendous challenges your way. And there are some battles that we are going to face, as I faced, that many of us may not win. Now, since I have been here a number of times, probably all of you have heard my testimony and how I was shot 3 times and ended up in the hospital bed and I was dying. But I want to share one verse from my testimony that goes along with what I'm saying here. That battle that we're all going to face, and those values, those qualities like loyalty, honor, duty, respect, integrity, personal courage, they're not going to help you win this battle. Because in Ecclesiastes 8:8, it says that there is no man that has power over the Spirit. There is no man that has power to retain the Spirit in the day of death. And there's no discharge in that war. That is the war that we are going to all have to fight. That is the war that I was fighting in that hospital bed. And that is the war that I took all the weapons that I had, loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, personal courage, and I fought hand to hand with death with those weapons. And death just laughed at me. Are you kidding me? You think these are going to stop death? I took all the weapons that I had and realized that I was going to lose. That's when I realized that I needed something greater than me, that was outside of me, that was greater than death. That's when the chaplain came by. He said, "Would you like to pray?" I said, "Sir, I don't know how to pray. I had no idea of a God." And he said, "That's okay. God knows how to listen, son." And I prayed, "God, if you're real, I need you." And from that prayer, God was faithful and began to meet my needs. Eventually, using a friend of mine and the Word of God to lead me to Christ and becoming a Christian. But during that time, even though I was a Christian, I was still suffering from the war. I was still damaged. I was still hurt. Things that I had believed in, I didn't believe anymore. Things that I trusted in, I couldn't trust anymore. And I didn't know how to live. So I sought the safety, the security of a cave in New Hampshire. I lived in that cave for 2 years, not trusting anybody, not being able to feel anything, because I had shut down completely, because I had been hurt so much, and because guilt and anger had ravaged my life and it made me do crazy, crazy things. I sought the cave to hide and to protect myself and to protect other people from what this crazy person who only lived in a survival mode would do. But when people hear that I lived in a cave, they go, "Wow, tell me all about those experiences in the cave. What's it like to live up in northern New Hampshire? It's like the UP, you know? What's it like to live up there? 50 degrees below zero, 12, 15 feet of snow. What's it like to live in a cave there?" Well, today what I want to do is to continue that story and tell you what it's like to live in a cave. But I'm going to tell you the part of my story that really is his story, not my story. It's because when I lived in that cave, I remember saying, "Only thing I have is a backpack, my guitar, and a Bible." And in my backpack, I had a notebook. And I remember saying, "Okay, God, I'm a Christian, but now what? How am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to live in this world? I feel safe in here, God, but out there, I don't know if I can make it. I need you again, God. Help me." And a friend had told me once that all the answers could be found in God's Word.
Amen.
He said, "Gary, here's the advice. As 1 Peter 2:2 says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word, Gary." So I started reading and studying and saying, "God, make me who you want me to be. Reshape me. I need to be remade." And I started reading, and I got to Peter. 2 Peter If you got your Bible, this is where I'm going to stay for a while. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Verse 4. I saw this and boy, there were just some tremendous things that happened in my life as I realized and began praying this verse into my life. Starting at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, Gary. My word will help you become a partaker of my nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, Gary, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Add these things to your life, Gary. You want to know who you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to live? This is it. Add these things to your life. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read that and I went, wow, there's my answer. Loyalty, honor, duty, respect, personal courage. That's what soldiers in the military need. This is what God says I need. These are going to be my new weapons. These are my new tools to live my new life. But I just need virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. I'm going to add these things to my life. And so I started. On Monday was my day to pray for virtue. God put virtue in my life. Tuesday, I prayed for knowledge. God, I want knowledge. I want to know more about you. Wednesday, temperance. I prayed for temperance. Thursday was my day to pray for patience. And I prayed all day for that. Friday, godliness. Saturday, brotherly kindness. And Sunday, charity. I thought, wow, there's my weapons. I'm going to be transformed by these things into a professional soldier from a professional soldier, a Green Beret, to now I'm going to be a soldier in God's army. And so I took that same commitment and dedication and passion that I had that helped me become a Green Beret, and I said, okay, God, let's go. I'm going to enter my training period. First thing I got to add, virtue. Well, I'm kind of confused because I don't really know what virtue means. Virtue. If I'm going to add it, I better know what it means. So I remember looking it up. Virtue means inner strength. Okay. I started saying, okay, I can be strong. You know what? I wasn't strong. It wasn't working. What's wrong, God? I've been praying. I'm going to be strong in myself. I'm going to be stronger, stronger, stronger. I thought, well, maybe I'll go back and look at the definition. Maybe I missed something there, you know. And then said, not only is it inner strength, but it's moral excellence. Not only that, but it's character. Character. That's when I began to realize I made a mistake. Because if I need virtue in my life, I'm not going to get virtue in my life by having my character in my life. Because I'm a pretty rotten guy. Then I found 2 Corinthians 10:4, where it says that we don't battle in the flesh, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual, and they're mighty through God. I realized that my mistake was that I was trying to add these things to my life and my own strength. I realized that those weapons are only going to be strong and mighty through God. So I began to pray, and I looked and I said, it said, diligently add these things. Well, then I said, okay, maybe Holy Spirit, help me. I'm putting everything that I am in your hands. I want to be diligent in this. By this it means I am going to pray, and I'm asking you to help me. Help me become a virtuous person. I don't want my character. I want my character to be mighty through God. So instead of praying for strength and character, I began to pray for, Holy Spirit, put God's character in me. Those weapons are only powerful and mighty through God. Virtue becomes character when it comes through God. So I became, on Monday, instead of praying for virtue, I began praying for God's character. Make me who you are, God. How did I know what God's character was? 2 Peter tells me, I'm given precious promises. If I take those and hide those words in my mind and in my heart, I'll be a partaker of the divine nature. I then began to realize the truth of Philippians 1:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the important part is not I. The important part is through Christ. And I began to pray for God's character to be a part of my life. Then I went to the next thing. Okay, I'm working on adding God's character. I just devoured God's word. Hid his word in my heart and in my mind. And then it says, to virtue, add knowledge. Well, that's what I'm doing, God. I want to know all about you. I want to know you. I memorized verses. I did a Navigator topical memory system. I did so many memory systems. I had so many verses and things going in my mind. The people, when they said that, when they talked to me, they said, you're not real, man. You sound like you're a Bible. And that wasn't bad at that time, because it was better than what I would have sounded like if I was talking to my flesh. But I began to realize something. As I read Ephesians 3, and God tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Gary, it's time. It's time for what, God? It's time that you stop being a stalker. What do you mean, a stalker? You're being a stalker, Gary. You want to know everything about me. You know a lot about me. But I don't want that. I want you to know more. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays that we might know the love of Christ, which passes understanding, that we might be filled with the knowledge and the fullness of God. Like, puzzled by that, because I said, how can you know something that passes knowledge? I know it, but he wants me to know it more, because what he wants is me to know something that's greater, that passes beyond the knowledge, so that the fullness of God can dwell in me. So I was puzzled and I said, how can I know something beyond knowing it? My wife Lolly is from New Hampshire. And if you were to ask her a question, just say, you know Mount Adams, Mount Washington, the presidentials? She'd say, oh yeah, I know them. I drive by them all the time when I go to Berlin, go to Gorham. I drive by them all the time. Yeah, but do you know them? Have you ever walked the trails? Have you ever walked beside the creek? Have you ever listened to the water flowing over the rocks? Have you ever stood by the waterfall and just were mesmerized by the sound of falling water? Have you smelled the pine? Have you seen the life that's in there? Do you really know Mount Adams, Mount Washington? God said, Gary, I want you to know me. I don't want you to be a stalker anymore. Well, how can I know you, God? I want you to know me by experiencing me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to let me in your life so that I can walk with you moment by moment. I want you to listen to me. I want you to have communion with me. I want to develop an intimacy. I want you to know things about me that will only come through an intimate relationship, that will only become known because of your experience with me and my experience with you. That kind of knowledge of knowing by experience will result in what we sometimes call God moments, you know, a God thing, a God moment, when all of a sudden you realize, my gosh, God's real, you know. Someone was just telling me that they just moved on from the UP and he's finally realizing why God had him. He's had a God moment. because he realizes why God wanted him to be here. Those are God moments. Have you had those kind of God moments? Or are you a stalker of God, knowing all about him, but not getting intimate with him? Would you like more of those kind of God moments? I did. And so that's why Peter says, to your virtue, add knowledge. But if you want more knowledge, here's what you need to do. Add temperance. Oh, go back to the dictionary and look that up. Temperance. I don't know, how's temperance going to add to that? Well, I realized that temperance is self-control. Okay. Self-discipline, self-control, those are pretty cool. It's a good way of acting, a good way of living. But if you live your life with self in control, you're never going to experience God moments. You want to experience God moments? Well, then just as virtue became God's character, knowledge became God's presence, because that's what I started praying for. And then, I want more knowledge. I want to know you. I want your presence in my life, God. Temperance, or self-control, became God's control. So in those days that I was praying for temperance, I changed and I began to pray for, God, I want you to control my life. I don't want self-control anymore. If I want temperance in my life, I need to have you control it. My life needs to become under God's control. And with my life under God's control, I've had some pretty special God moments. Little moments when I'll just start to laugh, or a tear will start to come. An intimacy that will develop. Because you have the character of God, and that you've prayed for it, and you have the presence of God in your life. And your life is under the control of God. Beautiful, beautiful, special moments. But you'll never have them if you maintain control of your life, yourself. I was reading a book recently by a guy named Bob Goff, and he had a quote that was really great. He said, I used to be afraid of failing at something that really mattered to me. Now, I'm more afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. I used to be afraid of failing at things that really mattered to me. But now, I'm more worried about succeeding at something that's not going to matter at all. Coming under God's control, letting Him lead you, letting Him set the priorities for your life, letting Him set the goals for what He wants to do with your life, what He wants to do with His plan for who you are and what He wants you to be. Temperance, add that to your life by praying that, God, may you take control of my life. And what day was that that I prayed for that? Every Wednesday, praying, God, take control. And as I would go through Wednesday, I would say, okay, now God, am I listening to you? Am I hearing you? When I first became a Christian, one of the first verses I memorized was Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Well, I don't know about you, but when I received Christ, I was on my knees. As I've received Him, so walk with Him. Jim Elliot said, the saint that advances on his knees never retreats. It's hard to be in control when you're on your knees.
Yeah.
You have to trust God to be in control. It's on your knees, as you let Him lead you and guide you and set your priorities, that you will have that God moment when you hear Him say, Gary, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Those are God moments that you will relish and cherish. Those are moments that will happen in your life because you have developed an intimacy with God. because you've prayed for God's character to be in your life, because you have prayed that God's presence will be in your life so that you'll have more knowledge of Him, that you have prayed that you have God's control in your life, that He will lead and you will follow. Next. And to temperance, add patience, Gary. Patience, huh? Well, I quickly learned, you know, you've often heard it say, don't pray for patience, man. Because you don't know, you're going to know what's going to come. Well, I quickly learned as I kept on praying for patience on Thursdays that patience in God's eyes is more than just enduring hardness as a good soldier. You know, endurance is more than just perseverance and hanging there with your eyes closed and just saying, nobody's going to move me. That's not, I can endure this, I can take this. It's not the patience that God wants you to have in your life. It's something I noticed as I was going through these, that this is like a ladder. You know, you start out with the first rung, God's character. Then you add God's knowledge, you take that next step of becoming a Christian, becoming a soldier in His army, becoming a new creation. Then you take that next step of temperance, and you're higher up, you know, and things, you can see things a little bit differently. Then you grab that last, the next rung, which is patience. And I quickly learned that, and it's like you have to do the first ones before you can get to the next one. Well, I learned that, okay, I'm on God's control. I'm on that run. Well, if God is in control, then patience must be something more than just enduring. I quickly learned that if God is in control, what patience is really relying and trusting in God's timing. Patience is God's timing. Want a secret to patience? God's got a special plan for you. And if you are following Him, if you have these things in your life right now, God has things He wants you to do right where you are, right now. God doesn't want us to miss opportunities to love, to support, to be a blessing to someone because our eyes are closed, because we're just so hard enduring on what we're going through, wishing we could be somewhere else, be somebody else, so we wouldn't have to go through this. That's not patience. Circumstances shape who we are. And in God's timing, things happen. And if all these things are in your life, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, or God's character, God's presence, God's control, God's timing, if all these things are in your life, then right where you are, right now, is where God wants you to be. And that means that there's something He wants you to learn right there. There's something He wants you to do right there. And He doesn't want you to miss that opportunity, that special God moment that He has, because you're trying to endure His hardness as a good soldier with your eyes closed, wishing you were somewhere else and saying, oh, poor me, I can't take this, but I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be stand fast. I'm going to follow 1 Corinthians 15, which says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We can do that if we know that where we are right now is God's timing, and that He has us here, and He wants us to be steadfast and unmovable right where we are, because He's placed us there. And He wants us to know that our work is not in labor, and that we are always abounding in the work of the Lord, and He's put us there for a purpose. His timing is perfect. Next rung. I've climbed the rung of God's character, God's knowledge, God's presence, God's patience, God's timing. The next rung, godliness. And to patience, add godliness, Gary. Well, I read that and I went, okay, God, I guess, you know, that's going to be pretty good, I guess. I just got to act like You, right? I just I just got to do what you would do. What would Jesus do? You know, I got to behave like you, God. He said, no, I want it to be more than that, Gary. I want you to walk in my way. So I started praying for God's way. Okay, teach me your way. When I'm up against that person, when I'm having that conflict, teach me your way. And I have those God moments where God taps me on the shoulder and says, Gary, this is the way. This is the godly way to act right now. How are you supposed to act? Philippians 2:5 tells you, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Get the mind of Christ in you, Gary. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Praying for God's way so that I could walk in it, I saw that in Ephesians 4:1. He said, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation that you've been called into. I want you to walk in love. My way is a way of love, Gary. I want you to walk in the way of love. Ephesians 4:26 says, you can be angry, Gary, but don't sin. Don't sin, Gary. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I want to quickly tell a story, and I only got about 10 minutes left, and I've got two more qualities. But I had a problem with forgiveness of myself and other people. And my anger used to take control. But something happened to me one time, and I've never had a problem with forgiveness again. As God is my witness, He knows. You see, somebody had done something to hurt one of my children. Seriously. And I don't use the word hate often, but I hated this person. I was ready to kill him. I was obsessed. There was nothing that was going to stop me from doing what this guy deserved in my mind. I'm not really a mystical person, but during one of those God moments, I had like a vision or a little scenario that was played in my mind and in my heart. I had that man tied to the whipping post. And I'd seen people there with whips. And a person came up to me and said, you hate him, don't you? I said, yeah. You want him to suffer, don't you? I sure do. Here, whip him. My chance for vengeance. My chance to make it all even. And so as I stood there and I started talking to him and telling him how much he deserved this, he turned around. And it wasn't that man at all. It was Jesus. And he saw that I stopped. And he said, don't stop. If you feel you need to do this, hurt me. I died for that person. I dropped the whip. How could I do that? Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Pray that you will walk in God's way. You want godliness to be part of your life? Pray that you will walk in God's way. As God is my witness, I have never had a problem with forgiveness again. I've had lots of opportunities, believe me. Go to the next opportunity, the next rung on the ladder. God's way, I'm getting close to the top. You think you're okay with forgiveness, Gary? Okay. Here. The next run is brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. I want you to love one another. Especially your brothers and sisters in Christ, Gary. Oh, piece of cake. Piece of cake. I can do this. Until we were hurt by brothers and sisters in Christ. You want me to forgive them, God? Do you know what they did? Yeah, Gary, I know what they did. Here's a God moment for you, Gary. You know how much I love you?
Yeah.
You know how you're precious in my sight?
Yes, God.
So are they. I died for them too. I want you to love them, Gary. On my own, I couldn't get brotherly kindness into my life. So I began to pray for the love that God has for us. I began to pray with a passion. I began to pray, God, I want your passion in my life. I want to be able to love with your passion. I want to love passionately, God. Because Jesus had said, by this, you want to be my disciple, Gary? By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have loved one for another. Love one another, Gary. Pray for God's passion to be a part of your life, and you will be transformed. Before I forget, one of my main goals was, you know, to not only talk about how I was transformed in that cave, but I also want to humbly challenge you to your daily devotion time of prayer. Prayerfully and diligently seek to have these things added to your life. Pray for God's character to be a part of your life on Mondays. On Tuesdays, pray for God's presence to be felt by you. On Wednesdays, pray for God's temperance, God's control to be in your life. Each day, pray for that which, because there's seven of them, seven virtues, 7 days. Brotherly kindness was the sixth day. And finally, the top of the ladder, charity. Add that. Now, if I were down at the bottom and looked up at the top and said, I got to add charity to my life, as 1 Corinthians 13 talks about charity, the greatest gift of all, sacrificial love to all, to those who don't even deserve it, I'd be looking at it and going, oh my gosh, that's way up there. That's the top of the tree. But God says, I don't expect you to do it that way, Gary. Here's some helps. Add these to your life. Pray for my character to be a part of who you are. Pray that my presence will be with you, and that more than that, that you will sense my presence and look for my presence and intimately commune with me day by day. Pray that I will have God's control. Pray that I will rest and be actively listening and looking for opportunities to serve him as I am living in God's timing, knowing that he has me where I am right now for a purpose. Pray that I will have God's passion of love for my brothers and sisters. And then once you get to that top of that ladder, then when God says, now add charity to your life, now I want you to add sacrificial love to your life so that you can love everyone without a care in the world about, well, what's in it for me? That's not charity. Or, well, I would if they would do this. No, that's not charity. How do you have charity in your life? You walk in the Spirit. And how do you walk in the Spirit? You walk praying for God's character. You walk praying for God's presence. You walk praying for God's control. You walk praying for God's timing. You walk praying for God's passion. And you walk praying for God's love, charity, to be in your life. Close, go back to 2 Peter, verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. In any battle, the high ground is what's sought after. In the battle that we face every day, you want the high ground, you want to take the high ground, climb that ladder. See things from God's perspective. Prayerfully and diligently add those weapons, those tools that God has said we need. God said, if these are in your life, they will be mighty. not through you and your own effort, but through me. They will become my tools to help you live a new life. Like I said, what I wanted to share today was just, I've never done this before. I mean, I never talked to people about what my own personal devotion life is like. But that's what my devotion life is like. Every day I pray those things. Today is Sunday. This morning I prayed for charity. God, when I have a chance to love someone sacrificially, let me see it and give me the heart to move. I know your timing is perfect, and I am right here today because you've wanted me here. Let me look for opportunities to love sacrificially. It's my prayer, because you're all so very special, and I know how faithful many of you have been in prayer for my wife and myself. My prayer is that, as I have shared with you, how that through my cave experience, I was transformed from a professional soldier into a soldier in God's army. Amen. That the process that I went through of praying through these individual things to be added to my life, that I said, maybe I've humbly challenged you a little bit to pray these things too, so that you will not be barren and not be without fruit in your life, so that you will not be blind, and so that you will not be able to see afar off. If these things are in your life, you will be fruitful. If these things are in your life, people will look at you in wonder, you know. Say, wow, how do you do that? I've shared with you how I have done that. May God bless you.